Back on the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host, Evan Ryer. And Evan, we have preseason game number one in the book. Some stuff to talk about from Saturday night at Everbank Stadium. Look, it's a preseason game, right? We don't want to go too far maybe with the hot takes, but I thought there were some good things, some bad things, and maybe some ugly things that we can take from this preseason game. I think it's important to also note, right, Evan, this is a team that went 3-0 a year ago in preseason games, did not translate, and so we're not going to, again, probably go too overboard with a 31-25 loss to the Aaron Rodgers-less Pittsburgh Steelers in week one of this preseason.
No, it's we got burned on that last year. I had a friend say, "Hey man, I saw some clips. The Jags look pretty good in that game." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't care. I don't get me wrong, I'm paying attention, but I don't really want to hear anything about, oh well, you know, this looks really good or this looks really bad. You know, you just take the information that we're given and go from there." And you know, speaking of Aaron Rodgers-less Steelers, you know, the fact that Mason Rudolph carved up the Jaguars defense on the opening starting defense, like just about every starter, just about every starter was out there. That's probably the ugliest thing we saw all day.
Yeah, that would definitely qualify in these three categories here of good, bad, and ugly. Steelers came out with some tempo. And yeah, they Jags, were you know, that's a tough go for a defense under another defensive coordinator. And you know, trying to work through some things in terms of just getting their feet and their legs under them. But Mason Rudolph's played a lot of football for the Steelers. And that's I guess it's a newer system because they've had a change there too, not too long ago at the offensive coordinator position. But Mason Rudolph's a veteran guy. And if you're not lined up and ready to play from the opening snap, that's what can happen to you. So it was interesting. And you know, you think about the Jaguars, conversely, coming out on offense, pretty vanilla, what you would expect.
Yeah.
Came out in 11 personnel with Travis Hunter at one of those wide receiver spots. By the way, look, I think it's great, too, that he's going to play both ways. But I'm about over the day-to-day updates on whether he practiced on – he's going to play both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, we know
at
that.
At this point.
Yeah. That's all I care about. He's going to be first and foremost a wide receiver. And if guys like Jarian Jones and Jordan Lewis can hold up at the corner opposite a Tyson Campbell, he'll be more of a situational option on defense. It was a fun story for a week or two as far as the day-to-day documentation of where he's at on the practice field. But I'm good. I'm officially good. And by the way, I think we can say this too, Evan, from Saturday night. I'm all for sitting Cam Little the rest of the preseason. That's the guy you got to protect. You're going to protect a Jag, Ev? Cam Little, 70-yard field goal, 52-yard field goal. I mean, that's the guy. You know what? Just go with an alumni kicker for the rest of the preseason.
Just bring Josh Scobie out.
Yeah, bring Scobie out. What I'd like is a combo. Give me, like, Mike Hollis. Mike's got to be 50 now. I understand that. But Mike can do the extra points. Let Mike can probably still steer that 33-yarder through there. And then Scobie for anything beyond that, you know, just go with an alumni kicker and protect Cam Little at all costs.
No, it's incredible to go from where we were last year, which was like, you know, we were optimistic about Cam Little. There were plenty of reasons to think that he was going to do a good job in the NFL. But at this point, Jaguars now know that they have a guy that can do things that not a lot of kickers in the NFL can do. I don't know if there might be one or two other dudes in the entire NFL that can knock down a 70-yarder, really. That's crazy.
No one's done it before.
Yeah, Saturday night. It's nuts. It's nuts. And that thing could have been good from 75, too. I mean, it was an absolute bomb. It was super
dude
fun.
Dude weighs about a buck 50, too.
I think, you know, for sure, you know, we're going to see them try some deep 60-type stuff. I mean, at this point, he's got the green light. I don't know why you wouldn't try it, you know? I mean – not to mention, too, that really, you know, if your offense is going to be kind of, I don't know, the starting offense had a very reserved approach, and that was probably just because they were, you know, just trying to, you know, go through the reps. Right. They're not trying to whatever. Hey, if you lack a big play capability, you better have a good kicker, because you're not going to be getting in the end zone a whole lot. So now, it was,
you know,
awesome.
What? Yeah, you know what? Go ahead and sit Logan Cook too. While
yeah,
we're
that
at
too.
It.
Yeah, Logan Cook.
See what Brian Barker or somebody's up to, you know, as a punter,
Anger,
alumni punter.
Is Anger still in the league? I don't know if he's,
Brian Anger.
That was really cool. I mean, you know, just seeing how excited he was and the rest of the team was just about that, because it's insane. You know, it's a preseason game, but if there's a reason to be happy, that's a good one.
That was probably the thing I liked the most from Liam Cohen on the entire night, was that he already has the confidence to send out, and I know it's into half, right?
Yeah.
But still, you know, a lot of coaches, they just look at that still, even with what kickers are doing today in the NFL, which is nuts across the league. And it's not just a Cam Little thing, but again, we've never seen anyone do what Cam Little did in any type of game
football
situation.
Ever. College football. Or otherwise, that's the longest ever.
It's a crazy accomplishment. But yeah, talking about this team offensively, defensively, Jags come out three wide receiver set. I thought we saw kind of the bullet points for this offense that we anticipate seeing moving forward under Liam Cohen, with the screen game, like some of that to Travis Etienne early in the game. I liked Trevor coming off his primary guy to the front side, back to Brenton Strange in the middle of the field, really fitting a tight ball into the window. I thought we saw the middle of the field attacked a good bit, which is what you anticipate with Liam Cohen. The penalties, you know, that had been sort of a issue throughout camp. They showed up once again on Saturday night from a negative perspective. Bashel Tootin, I liked his touchdown run.
I liked that.
A guy like Wyatt Milam helped finish that push into the end zone there. You know, on the offensive line, again, no Macari in there. Walker Little, Anton Harrison. Anton opens the game with a false start, although I think maybe some of that went back to Trevor ultimately. But it wasn't the sort of, you know, scripted touchdown drive that you would like, but took care of the football. And again, showed us some of the bullet points. I like the fourth down call early in the game, getting the ball to De'Ami Brown on the perimeter, not being so predictable in some of the things you did, even though it was a preseason game.
Yeah, no, I did like that call a lot. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, when the Jags brought in Doug Peterson, it was kind of exciting because we were thinking we would get some of that, right? Like we would get that kind of stuff. And in reality, we didn't really get a whole lot of it, you know, especially not effectively. But no, that was sweet. I liked De'Ami Brown's, he, you know, kind of when he's got the ball in his hands, like on that play, he's got like a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's not the biggest
not
in the world,
big,
but
no.
he is not afraid to just push forward and get what he can. I like
decisive.
That.
Yeah.
You know, obviously ETN gets the start. Do you think that represents what we'll actually see come week one? Or do you think maybe they alternate and they go Tank as a starter this upcoming
week? You know, it could be based on the team they're going against, the defense they're going against, and maybe some of the challenges they're going to find themselves up against. But it does look very much like a cooperative effort there between those two. And, you know, I thought, you know, again, the offense early, okay. I wasn't expecting fireworks really coming out the gates. I thought Trevor was pretty much what he needed to be. I didn't like the hospital ball to BTJ in the middle of the field as much. That was Trevor's lone incompletion. But again, in terms of an outline of what this offense is going to look like, and probably what it needs to look like based on personnel, that was pretty much it. Now, what's going to be interesting for me is, you know, it's a different approach from Doug Peterson and the previous offense. So, you know, what we continue to hear with BTJ throughout the preseason is it hasn't been a great one for him do I put a lot of stock or concern into that? No, not really. What I would be interested in getting your thoughts on is the mindset that players have to accept when there's change in concepts and schemes and things like that. And, you know, the possibility that, yeah, this is going to be more of run the football, even get the backs of football more in the passing game. And then when we need to throw it or feel comfortable, maybe more so throwing it, that's when we're going to do that. And no, it was a thing, I guess, what AJ Brown had to go through it in Tennessee. Yeah. I've made that analogy in the past with Ryan Tannehill and that thing in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. Not that the Jags are going to go to that extent. But if you're BTJ and you're coming off such a prolific rookie season, I'm not sure if this is exactly something that has you outwardly enthused or extremely excited moving forward, but just those type of things I'm more interested in. Those are things we won't get answers to until we really get into the season.
For sure. No, I mean, if I'm BTJ, I'm thinking, all right, yeah, well, if we're going to do this, you know, really, you know, running back heavy kind of approach, then you know, let's make sure we hit our big shots, you know, when we do take those. Because you think about Cohen and the Buccaneers offense last year. I mean, yeah, they were very running back dependent. But at the same time, I mean, there were plenty of deep balls to Mike Evans and plenty of shots, you know, 20 yards down the field to Chris Godwin. You know, so that's going to be the deal. It just needs to work. Like, if they put all their eggs in the, you know, running back basket, then it needs to work. Because – you know, that should really do a great job of setting up, you know, yeah, like big shots and opportunities and getting the, you know, defense off balance. But, you know, at the same time,
it's back to Trevor. That's where the pressure, the spotlight goes back on Trevor.
Yeah, if Trevor starts missing those shots downfield, then, you know, it's if I could see BTJ being pretty dang upset because, yeah, he's probably not going to get 11 targets a game like he was getting like at the end of last year. You know, at the end of last year, I mean, just about every game he was getting 10 to 15 targets, like every game. That's probably not how it's going to go unless the Jaguars are down a lot of points.
And part of that has to do with you hope Travis Hunter and De'Ami Brown are getting targets, you know, more extensively than you were able to kind of end of last season. You didn't have Christian Kirk, right? You were down in numbers. Gabe Davis was never a factor. So it kind of had to be BTJ last year. This year, it doesn't necessarily have to be as much on him because Parker Washington is your four. You feel good about Brenton Strange, Evan Ingram type numbers from Brenton Strange. No, but he's kind of the same situation in that when they go to him throwing it, it should be set up in a way where there's the potential for some chunks and some really positive results. But yeah, when you talk about the offensive performance from Saturday night, the backup quarterbacks obviously in play with Nick Mullins and Seth Hennigan came in. The rookie from Memphis did some really nice things later in the game. John Wolford across the river from Bishop Kenny High School. So I thought that for me anyway, would you say based on just one preseason game from a roster perspective, seeing all those guys out there in a preseason game, do you think the roster's been upgraded? It may be a little early to make a definitive call on that, but just on what we could see from preseason game number one, would you say one way or the other that this roster is better or maybe a little bit behind last year?
I think it's marginally better. I don't think it's dramatic, but I do think it is better. I think that, you know, De'Ami Brown especially adds another dimension that the Jaguars didn't have last year. Obviously, we didn't really, you know, Travis Hunter really just got, you know, two short yardage opportunities, but you know what he can do. And at the end of the day, I think also this offensive line does look better than it did last year. Of course, obviously, Anton Harrison with the false start and overall that wasn't especially great. But, you know, I think that group is better. So, I would say marginally better. It's not maybe, you know, 5%. It's not dramatic, but 5% better. I think that's fair.
I think it's different for sure in some areas. I think where you're going to get more answers is some moves similar to last year, especially in free agency. will the moves in the secondary with Jordan Lewis and Eric Murray prove better than the moves you made last year?
Yeah.
You know, when you went free agency for a couple DBs and it really didn't pay off for you, did it?
No, that's going to be the concern because, you know, really, you know, Mason Rudolph on that opening drive, he was kind of picking on Tyson Campbell. They kind of got, it was Tyson Campbell on the, I think the touchdown was less on him.
It doesn't seem like teams worry about Tyson's latest contract all that much.
Yeah,
does it?
Yeah.
They're going to go at Tyson Campbell, just like they're going to go at the other side. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tyson Campbell has to give teams a reason to not. He doesn't have that respect at the moment. And, you know, at the same time, you think about that. And then also on that touchdown, who does the ball go over the top on? It's Aluakun, which is, you know, another guy that we know that is, you know,
that's pass not coverage his thing.
Is not. Yeah. His number one skill. So that's another thing that you think about is, you know, how are the Jaguars going to be able to navigate play, that?
I watched it again and again, and I still haven't figured out if Foye was supposed to run with Washington down the middle of the field once he cleared kind of the line of scrimmage, or did Murray get caught over-rotating on the back end? And maybe it was a situation the Steelers just had a good play call on.
Yeah. That's kind of what it looked like, is just, you know, good play call against the coverage. But yeah, it was, you know, that touchdown, you know, definitely, you know, said a lot about what we've talked about a lot this whole offseason when it comes to defense and pass coverage.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think obviously, like we said earlier, it's you can't overreact. It's not, you know, the end of the world. It's not defining, but at the same time, you know, that exact situation is what we've talked about. So, it'll be curious to see exactly what they do to, you know, I guess, address that. But overall, I mean, you know, there were some positives on defense. I mean, it wasn't all bad. You know, it was fun seeing Dwayne Smoot back in the lineup. He got
your
the guy sack.
With the that sack.
Was the guy. Yep. That was cool. You know, I also thought that some of the UDFAs or, you know, some of the guys that aren't really
Trent Irwin, wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, I think there were some positives there too on defense. But at the end of the day, you know, what you're really going to focus on is what the starters did. And on that opening drive, it just wasn't great. So.
Yeah, I didn't see anything from the back end that made me think, boy, when Buster Brown comes back, he might have a hard time making this roster.
Yeah.
I think if you're Buster Brown and you're watching what happened Saturday night, you're feeling –
pretty good.
You're not feeling as anxious about trying to get back in there maybe before you should.
Yeah.
Now, Christian Braswell, by all accounts, has had a solid camp for the Jaguars. We saw that a year ago, too. But Jarian Jones was the guy we really saw out there in the nickel at corner with Jordan Lewis moving inside there in the nickel package. And base, Lewis was playing corner. Opposite Tyson Campbell. So it was kind of cool to get a look at that base defense. You saw Yasser Abdullah out there with the linebackers in that 4-3 look to go along with Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines-Allen, Devon Hamilton, and Tyler Lacy getting that start because you're still without Eric Armstead. You're still without Mason Smith. And I think you could pretty much say, especially on the third and four on that touchdown drive to open things up for the Steelers, third and four, Jags don't have Devon Hamilton on the field to go along with Tyler Lacy. They have the recently signed Austin Johnson out there at a defensive tackle, not the biggest guy in the world. And the Steelers just run it on third and four without Hamilton in there. They're able to move the chains and then set up the touchdown strike to Washington.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it continues to be kind of, you know, maybe the biggest question mark on that defense. It's kind of a tough conversation, whether it's the DBs or if it's the DL. You know, I mean, really, you know, obviously Austin Johnson just got here. Like you said, not the biggest dude in the world. It's kind of just kind of a poor situation that he's been put in that spot. But at the same time, it's like, well, the Jaguars have to figure that out. You know, it's okay if he's not the biggest dude in the world, but on third and four, maybe that's not his time to be in the game.
You need Hamilton and another war daddy in some of those situations. And that's where you expect Armstead. But, You know, we still haven't seen Arik Armstead this preseason. And I understand he's a 10-year vet. You know, you're going to manage guys. Mason Smith, you'd heard really good things about during the offseason, so you were excited to see him. Apparently dealing with something lower extremity related. Remember, he had the ACL back in his freshman season at LSU. Not sure if all those things are connected, but the point is you need a cut. You need one or both of those guys to go along with Hamilton if you're going to play defense at a high level in this league.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so, yeah, definitely a work in progress there. I also, you know, I'm just curious if, you know, it didn't seem like they got especially creative with the looks in terms of blitz packages and different stuff like that, which I get it. You know, you're not trying to show your hand, but that's something also that we, you know, really have no idea what the Jaguars are going to do yet. So I guess it's a reason for optimism is that we can still see, you know, what they can go for in that sense. But yeah, it's based on, you know, Saturday, it's, you know, definitely got work to be done.
I think defensively it was a good lesson for everyone involved because you can't assume anything even in week one of the preseason. Does that mean you're going to load your guys up with every package in the book? No, because realistically, you can't do that. You got too many guys that you're trying to get in and out of the game. It's going to be very basic. But, you know, it almost felt like the Steelers cheated a little bit by going with that tempo to start the game because
it's not there.
You're not probably anticipating that if you're Cam, the new defensive coordinator. And here it comes, and it's hard to be aggressive when you're worrying about getting lined up to snap in and snap out. So, yeah, we're going to give the defensive side a little bit of a pass for that. But I don't think it's hyperbole to say they really got to get a couple of those guys back on that defensive line, not just in terms of the run game, but, you know, you're getting gashed through the air and you can have two edge guys like the Jags have. If you don't have anything else to go with those guys on the interior, or you're not designed in a way to kind of compensate for that with the pressure looks and things like that, it's going to make it hard on those guys on the back end. What about the safety position? It was Arik Murray. It was Wingard to open the game. We didn't really see much dime from the first group. I don't think we really saw any at all. We did see Antonio Johnson out there some, and also on special teams. But what about, you know, depth at safety for that matter, and how that could play out for this defense?
No, that's another good question. I mean, really, at this point, you know, you feel like you've got your starters pretty set, but at the same time, like, it's hard for me to watch. Antonio Johnson played fine in the preseason game. I'm not trying to knock him on that, but it's hard to feel confident in him based on what we saw last year. And we all love Dewey, but Dewey is also limited in his overall, you know, capabilities. You know, you want that kind of guy on the squad, but at the same time, he's, you know, just not a game breaking player. He's not gonna, you know, he's not much of a ball hawk. That's kind of where I'm wondering where the Jaguars are going to find like any type of explosiveness in coverage from their safety group. Who's going to provide that? I don't know if Murray can provide that either. So in that situation, you better just have guys that are really, really, I guess, smart, safe. You know, if you can't, you know, really make a difference or, you know, you know, swat the ball away, whatever, then, you know, just don't get blown by. And like you said earlier, that might have been Murray's fault on the touchdown on the opening drive.
Yeah,
you
know, without knowing the coverage, it's hard to say.
It's difficult to tell, but, you know, I would love to see the film on that. Like, I would love to see them talk about that and say this is exactly what happened because, yeah, that might have been Murray's fault there.
I think the tempo was part of that, too. I think the Jags were a little bamboozled there early by that, and that could have played into that as well. I like Antonio Johnson closer to the football. I like him at that dime back, almost like that hybrid linebacker that you see in the dime. I think that may be Antonio Johnson's future in the National Football League, situational defender and kick ass on special teams.
Yeah.
I think that's the ticket for him. Kind of like a guy we knew from Alabama and Ronnie Harrison.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Ronnie Harrison a little bit. And, you know, we'll see. There's still questions about this team across the board, but not much question about the excitement involving Travis Hunter, Evan. It was kind of a mixed bag, I would say, for for Trav on Saturday night, but what was kind of your takeaway of the performance for him?
Yeah, the missed tackle was, you know, pretty rough. It was definitely visually optic. You know, the optics on that one was not great. However,
you can't hide on those, you know.
However, someone posted the All-22 clip of Smoot's sack, and Hunter is plastered onto his receiver, which is who the Steelers QB was trying to throw to. So, I mean, really, or where his read was going anyways. So you could give, you know, Hunter some credit on that sack, you know, at the end of the day. So
he can do that.
Yeah, positive, negative. You know, if he in coverage, he looked fine. You know, I mean, really, he was never, you know, he never looked lost. He never really got duped. You know, the missed tackle was the main negative. And then, you know, offensively, you know, he just caught the ball. I mean, again, he wasn't being, you know, put in situations where he could do a whole lot on offense, but
lost a catch to a penalty too, I think.
He did. If anything, you know, to go broad again, like the penalties are definitely a concern, like the block in the back, the, you know, all that different stuff. It's like
Jarian Jones, like, had one on defense. Yeah.
It's like, this is like the one thing I'd rather, we can lose 10 games. I don't care. We can lose 12 games, but I would love for us to, you know, keep it to a minimum on penalties.
I think that the Jaguars opening offensive snap penalty and then the opening defensive snap penalty, but I think it was maybe a completion that the Steelers didn't accept the penalty. So, you know, that's going to be a big focal point for Liam Cohen and the staff. And again, you can attribute that in some part to newness, but I don't think the players. Yeah, I thought Travis Hunter was fine. He was a little bit short of the sticks on the one third down route, where they ended up going for it on the fourth and De'Ami Brown converted it. As you said earlier, nice decisiveness from the newcomer, making that cut, getting upfield, moving the chains. Really like to see that from Brown. Now, that catch, you know, the Steelers were just playing the sticks. I mean, they were not letting you get to the marker. If anything, Trevor maybe had Brenton Strange if he waits a little bit longer in an opening there in front of Hunter, but it's hard to tell. And so, I thought Travis Hunter was fine. And look, you don't take guys like Travis Hunter, number two overall, because they're good against the run. Yeah. You know, you'll deal with that and edge setting and things like that. As you pointed out, man coverage, if you can lock up, play man, and then you can do enough in zone, which we're expecting to see more of that from this Jaguar defense, and eyes to the quarterback and take the football away, that's what they're going to want to see. You got the Saints coming up on Sunday. Have you made a decision, Evan, whether or not
I believe I'm not going to make it this
not
year.
Not going
to
make it.
Unfortunately. Right. I really want to, though. I got to go to a Cajun pop-up in Birmingham yesterday, and it was especially making me think, you know, I need to actually go get some proper cooking down in NOLA. But I just think it's just a little too much of a quick turnaround to have to go down there and come back same day. So I'm going to miss out, but I am going to be able to watch it. Cool. I'm excited to tune in and see what adjustments or, you know, what issues we have to keep talking about in the second preseason
Spencer Rattler,
man. The
Saints didn't exactly look like world beaters yesterday.
No, they didn't.
In L.A., but, you know, it's preseason. You never know. I think where things will get interesting, too, and we'll save some of this for other shows, but, you know, that joint practice with the Dolphins coming up in a couple of weeks. Yeah, those are the things I think that from a coaching perspective are even more important than preseason games, because you go in these preseason games trying to get a look at all these guys and you're managing your veterans and your starters and all those things. And it's hard to control game settings, game scenarios. Whereas, you know, those type of joint practices, they're very controlled. Situational. You can get exactly who you want on the field, when you want them there in the matchups for evaluation purposes, and also just trying to improve your football team. So, you know, that is something that I'm sure Liam Cohen and his staff down the road a little bit will be very beneficial to them before that preseason game with the Dolphins. The Dolphins, very interesting, by the way, had joint practice with the Bears last week before playing the Bears. They're going to do the same thing with the Jags. I don't know. Maybe other teams have done multiple Yeah, sort
it's
of joint
rare. It's yeah,
practices.
I think it has happened, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
But you know, it's very Mike McDaniel to do something that is not, you know, orthodox, you know.
Yeah.
So no, it'll be interesting to see. You know, that receiver group in Miami is pretty good. So, you know,
Tyreek's out right now with an
yeah,
oblique.
but still, I mean, you know, I want to see
Waddle.
Jalen Waddle go up against
Yeah.
Travis Hunter. I want to see what that looks like. So
Yeah. That'd be fun.
You know, there should be some fun matchups there, and hopefully, yeah, the Jaguars are you know, able to learn a few things not only that week, but also against the, you know, when they play the Saints on Sunday. So
So that's what you're kind of looking for, though, out of preseason game number two, clean up the
yeah,
penalties. And...
I would love to see half the penalties that we saw on this past Saturday. I think
And
if that happens, whether or not there's a lot of reps for, you know, the starting 22, I don't really care. I want to see it tightened up, and yeah, like especially not opening plays of the opening drive. Like, come on, dude. Like, it's just that just stinks.
So do you play Trevor a quarter this week? You play him certainly, I would think, more than a series, because that kind of goes back to trying to manage those and limit those type of pre-snap and game management type of mistakes that this team's
yeah.
working through.
No, I think ideally you have the majority of the starters in for the first quarter. I think that's maybe, you know, a couple exceptions here and there or whatever, but I think Trevor, just about everybody should be, you know, getting at least two or three series in this game, because really in the third preseason game, there's more than likely going to be less work, like in general. So
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I think, you know, you run the starters out there on both sides of the ball first quarter, and then you go from there. You know, if you think you can get one more out
Maybe
of
a
them,
half. Yeah.
yeah, then great.
Because you
But
go to Miami and you're going to have more emphasis again on that joint practice than you're going to have on the
actual
actual
game,
preseason game.
yeah, for sure.
You can get those guys that work Friday or Saturday.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's a Saturday or Sunday game off the top of my head, but then you don't really need to stress them, or you hope you don't. I mean,
Yeah, you better
if
not.
you're still having to push those guys through the game itself, you might have needed four preseason games
Yeah,
this season.
no,
Well, Ev,
we'll see.
anything else you want to throw in here before we get out? By the way, Firehouse, this is unsolicited because you know me on those Cam Little 40-yard field goal subs. This year on the 40-yard field goals, it's BOGO for every year.
Oh,
They're going to be
that's
in
pretty.
trouble, man.
Yeah,
They're going to be in
that's
trouble.
they're gonna lose a lot of money. But no,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really have anything to add. I do wish I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, so I could take advantage of that offer.
Yes. You
I
like the
don't think they
firehouse.
let I don't think the Birmingham Firehouse locations
Ev's
allow.
a firehouse alum. You
I
should be able
am.
to get like an alum rate. They should have an alum rate, Ev.
No, I think I should definitely get, yeah, alum rate. I also think that, you know, I can make my sandwich better than most of the people working
Well,
at the firehouse
we got a
currently.
new
So
sub place I told you I'm going to take you to down
yeah, I gotta
here.
go check that out.
Unsolicited Hollywood Heroes and Subs over in the South Point area, man. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty
No,
stout.
I love sandwiches, and
Loves Larry's.
I do have a place for Firehouse in my heart, but at the end of the day, I am a Larry's guy first,
Yeah.
and hopefully maybe a Hollywood guy as well. I wanna go check that out.
Firehouse and Larry's are kind of in like a sponsorship battle with the Jags. Like they're
Yeah.
both proud sponsors of
They're both Jacksonville.
the
It's
big cats.
great. The monopoly, or not the monopoly, but the market share that the Jaguars have when it comes
Yeah.
to sandwiches is crazy.
It's a showdown.
Yeah.
It's a showdown, you know.
But I also, you can't forget about Angie's, of course. That's also,
Andy's,
yeah.
yeah, right
There's
there.
so many. I don't
Yeah.
know what it is about
ASS.
Jacksonville that is so about sandwiches, but I'm so happy that they are. You know, I mean, it's one of my favorite things to eat, and
We
for
have a
whatever reason.
naval subs installation just up the road in St. Mary's. Maybe that has something to do with it, you know.
There you go.
I'm
Yeah,
trying very hard now.
no,
Yeah, I'm trying
we're
too hard.
connecting dots here.
Yeah. All right, Ev, a lot of fun, man, as always. And again, thank you to everyone for tuning in to No Sleep Teal right here on the Ryer on YouTube network. If you haven't subscribed to the Ryer on YouTube channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. Hit us with a thumbs up. That would help us out tremendously. And, you know, subscribe. to the channel. Hit that bell,
Please do.
because then you'll be updated to all the content as it drops here on Ryer on YouTube. For one Ryer, Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Till next time, so long, everybody.
Peace.